In our bulletin, this time together is called the Family Bible Hour. Well, when we went into a church one time with our six kids, when we only had six, they said, this is time to start a Sunday school. Well, we enjoy, especially being here at Bethany with all the new families, all the children that are here, and it's exciting even to see the nursery expanded and many people coming with their children to the nursery and enjoying the fellowship here. But I want to talk a little bit about this in terms of relationships. Of course, in the family, we have relationships that we have to live with 24 hours a day. And we have to build those relationships and develop those relationships. Relationships with one another, relationships that are put under pressure by the world in which we live. Because of this, our families demand solid relationships, relationships built upon Christ. You know, when all of our kids were living at home, and we had one bathroom in the house, and it was a tough job on Sunday morning. I was reminded of that again this morning. And, of course, we're doing better these days. We have two bathrooms, but still there's a problem there. And sometimes we develop friction, and some of these relationships are kind of stretched a little bit. Well, that's normal. That happens in life. That happens with all of us. And so as we look through this area of Scripture, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and that's what we want to look at this morning, beginning with verse 14, as we read earlier, we see that the love of Christ, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And then going on in verse 15, and he died for all that they who live should no longer live unto themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. This unselfish love that Christ demonstrated to us is an example to us that we should be living unselfishly for others. So relationships require this unselfish type of living for one another. And going on, as we go into this chapter further, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man he is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciled. We've been reconciled to God. We have a relationship with God because of the fact that we've been regenerated. We have been made part of God's family. Relationships, again, because of reconciliation, are a key ingredient of the Christian's life, especially to God in this case. Then going on in these verses that we read, in verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This relationship that we have with God is one in which we have had imputed to us God's righteousness, the righteousness that was Christ. What a tremendous relationship that we have with God. A relationship of love, a relationship of regeneration, a relationship of righteousness. Well, we don't always experience all these things in the 24-hour day in which we live. We go back and we look at this, and it's an encouragement to us to know that this is the ideal relationship that we have, and it's because of the blood of Christ that's been shed for us. But I want to give you four thoughts on relationships, especially as it comes from the 17th verse. And we'll begin with the first part of that 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now that's generic, any one, I think you'll find in some translations, any person, man, woman, child. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, there's a relationship toward God. And because of that relationship toward God, we have a relationship to others that's different. A different kind of relationship because of our relationship to God. This is a personal relationship. We have a personal relationship with God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all that there is around us. That's hardly possible, isn't it? It's hardly possible that we have that personal relationship with God. But it's not because of what we've done. We've read further and we've sung about it this morning. Our relationship with God is because of what Christ did on our behalf. A tremendous relationship that didn't exist until that time that it became personal to us when we received Jesus Christ as Savior. And because of that relationship, it goes on in this verse, the second portion I want to comment on. Therefore, if any one is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Now, some of you can look at me and you'll say, you've got gray hair and you have to wear these silly glasses and you look like you're a little bit older today than you were yesterday. So how can you possibly be a new creature, a new creation? You're getting older all the time. Some of you say, well, you're not too old. You look like a young man. There's some people here that could say that to me. And some of you say, boy, you're really old. So it depends what viewpoint that you're coming from. But as far as God is concerned, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. How? Spiritually, I am a new creation in Christ. I have a new nature. Now, it may not appear all the time, especially on a Sunday morning with one bathroom and nine kids, you know. Doesn't always appear when you're trying to load the car and get things going as you're coming to church. But I do have a new nature. And the reason for that is because of the new birth. I've experienced new birth. And the new birth is, along with it, has the Holy Spirit that comes in and dwells my life. I'm new spiritually. And because of that, I have a new relationship. Again, here we go with relationship. I have a personal relationship, I'm in Christ, and I have a new relationship because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Now, as we go on in this verse, where it tells us some things that we want to look at a little bit more carefully here. It said, as we go on, it says, old things are passed away. I used to think when I looked at that verse years ago that these old things were passing away and I was becoming more, I was becoming perfect. Well, that's not so. I'm discovering new things all the time as these old things pass away. Salvation brings with it changes in our life. The old style of living disappears. But there's still some things that need to be cleaned up and cleared up. Some of these old relationships discontinue. The old way of relating to others begins to disappear. But it doesn't always disappear, and it sometimes jumps up again. And I may say the wrong thing. And believe me, when I say the wrong thing at home, I know about it because it's told back to me. You said this and this. I said, did I really say that? I didn't mean to say that. Old way of relating to others begins to disappear. It just doesn't disappear. It begins to. It's a gradual thing. I remember when I was 19 years old, and I was overseas, and I was encouraged to follow the Lord. And one of the people that was a great influence in my life was a fellow by the name of Smokey Brown, and I mentioned him once before here. And Smokey Brown had on his arms the two naked women, one on the left arm, one on the right arm, the forearm. And Smokey Brown became a Christian, and he wanted to do things differently in his life, and so he went to the doctor and he wanted those tattoos taken off because he didn't think that was becoming of a Christian. And so that greatly influenced me to see that here was someone that would take and go to the doctor and have those tattoos removed. They cut the arm open, peeled back the skin, and somehow scraped that tattoo material off of there. And that was a very painful thing because I could see him putting his arms down into the cooler where he kept the Coca-Cola. And he would try to take the pain away by cooling his arms off in that icy liquid. Well, it was a lot of pain. And when we begin to change in our lives, it's painful. It doesn't come overnight. It doesn't happen when you become 40 years old or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. It continues right on through life. And these changes are painful because we are trying to, what I'm in the area of trying to describe here, build relationships that are meaningful. Think of what the Lord Jesus did. He knew the needs of people as he went and spoke to the woman at the well. He knew what her needs were. He was able to develop a relationship there and meet that need. The crippled man who was there at the pool of Bethesda, the woman in adultery, he told her, go and sin no more. He met that need. The blind man from birth, and after that blind man was rejected, Jesus went and found him, sought him out, and ministered to him. Jesus knew the needs of people and knew how to relate to them. We don't have that ability that Jesus had right on the spot there to be able to do that. It takes us time, it takes effort, and it takes a lot of discipline on our part to build relationships. Going on to the fourth area of this verse, behold, all things are become new. What becomes new in our lives? Well, I believe that we have a new capacity for the things of God. We have new direction, a new way of using our relationships, a new way to use these relationships to help one another. And this is through growth on our part, primarily, each one of us. And it takes time. When I have the students come in, I have several Moody students that participate with me at Oak Forest Hospital, and they minister to the patients there. I ask them to build relationships with these patients. They're there for a long time. And so as they do that, I want them in the middle of their time with me to write a little article on how this relationship is going and what they think this particular patient needs. And here's one reply that I got back from one of the students. And it says, regarding a patient who is about 22 years old, we have young patients there as well as older ones, and this patient is Miguel. Miguel is a cocky little guy from Mexico. I say he's cocky because he says that he always looks great. He is here in Oak Forest because of an accident involving a train. The accident resulted in the amputation of his left leg and foot. Miguel has professed faith in Christ. He is very inquisitive. Most of his questions are about morality and how we can live a pure life. He doesn't understand how you can have fun without liquor and women. We've tried to help him with this, but what Miguel needs the most is for someone to disciple him. Well, here's a fellow that really wants to follow the Lord, but has never had the opportunity that we've had, many of us, to live in the church and grow up in the church and be part of the church and the fellowship that we have. So he's starting out from scratch, and there's going to be a lot of changes that have to take place in this young man's life if someone, as we come alongside of him to help disciple him. And it's going to be painful, too. It's not going to be easy to see him develop and make these changes. I want to talk about another relationship in the New Testament. And that one is over in the book of Titus. And there was a relationship that developed between Paul and Titus. Paul knew Titus for quite a while. He was a Greek companion of Paul. They knew each other perhaps for 15 years. He accompanied Paul to the Jerusalem Council. He was one of those that went with Paul and Barnabas. He also had great responsibility. He urged the Corinthians to make good on the gift to the poor in Jerusalem. Now, that's quite a job to go down there and say, listen, you've got to make good on what you promised. He was left in Crete, as we see in Titus chapter 1, to set things in order. I believe Titus had the gift of administration. He knew how to get in there and get things moving in the right order. It says here in verse 5 of Titus 1, for this reason, Paul is saying this, I left you in Crete that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. This is a follow-up that Paul is making to Titus. They sat down, they developed a plan, they agreed to it and so on, but Paul now is writing to Titus and he's saying, listen, I just want to remind you of some things that we talked about, and here's a few things I want you to consider. At any rate, the organization of the ministry there on Crete had to have purpose to it, and there was a purpose. And the purpose was to straighten things out because there was rebelliousness, as you look on later in that chapter. Rebelliousness was occurring there, and Titus had to go in and get things back in order. This is a great relationship between Paul and Titus. I've always been impressed as I've read in Hebrews where it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's a difficult verse to me because you have to get to know somebody real well to provoke them unto love and good works. And Paul knew Titus very well, I believe. He was able to spur him on. And we need that more and more among ourselves. Titus 2:1, another aspect of this relationship. And it says in Titus 2:1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. There's a process that Titus had to follow. The purpose was to get things organized. The process was to speak that which becomes sound doctrine. Teach what is fitting, it says. Then Paul urged Titus again to communicate with the people and to encourage them. And we look in chapter 3 of Titus, especially verse 8. 3:8. It says, "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." Good deeds. Now, Titus, you need to go down there, and you need to stay there, and you need to tell these people how to put their faith into practice. Again, the relationship that Paul had with Titus allowed him to tell Titus, listen, this is what you need to do to get things going there. And in verse 14, "And let our people also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, that they may not be unfruitful, that they may live productive lives." This is the whole emphasis of this, the result of this relationship between Paul and Titus. He wanted to see those people in Crete live productive lives. That's the message for us today, to live productive lives. And those productive lives today that we have and that we're living are based upon our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally, our relationship with Him. There needs to be that personal relationship. There needs to be that new relationship that grows and develops and is one in which can be stimulated unto productive things, as we read here. Now, relationships require commitment, dedication, obedience, and it's not easy. Not easy to build relationships. My wife is more of an optimist in that area. I'm a little bit more pessimistic, but I have to listen to optimistic things and be open to more optimism, because as I'm able to have a deeper commitment and dedication and obedience to building these relationships. And this results in changes. Changes occur and we have growth. But as a result of growth, there's pain often. And we have to learn to live with that. And it helps us grow. I remember one doctor would always start a meeting, "Thank you, Lord, for the pain that we experience." He knew what pain was all about. And pain is important in terms of what to do in terms of treatment. And as a result of doing these things, of establishing commitment, dedication, and obedience, we receive blessings from God. I heard someone say when a great preacher spoke, "Oh, that was a real blessing to hear what he had to say." But in the book of James, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." And then it goes on, as you go down that first chapter of James, it says, "Blessed is the man in what he does." It's what we do that determines the blessing that we receive. Individually? Yes. And collectively, as families. And I believe that, especially some of the younger families that are here, the most important ministry that you have is to your family. We receive blessings because of what we do with our families, what we do in the church, and what we do in the workplace. These are all important. And I trust that this word this morning might be helpful and uplifting and beneficial to all of us, because God deeply wants to bless us. But first of all, we need to know, of course, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. and build upon that personal relationship. And then we'll take these other things in, and things will be gradual as we grow. We have to be open and receptive and optimistic to one another. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, thank you now for bringing us together. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, your faithfulness in many ways. We're thankful, Father, that we can look back to the time that we accepted Jesus Christ in our lives. And we pray that each one here may have that experience. But if there's one that doesn't, Lord, we pray now that that person may bow their head and recognize their sin and their need for the Savior and receive Jesus Christ and build upon Him. Thank you, Father, for the growth that we experience. Give us grace, we pray, that we might be able to withstand the pain as we grow and develop and learn from you. Because we know that if we take your yoke upon us, that it is easy and that we'll enter into rest. Thank you, Father, for your great love now and for being with us this morning, being in the midst of us and enabling us to carry on that you might receive honor and glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.